Blog Talk Radio.
All right, and there it goes. All right, so let's go ahead and get this gosh darn thing up and running. Folks, you have no idea how badly I want to kind of change the whole program and just do a straight up misogynist or exposed episode just because of this interaction that I had with this utterly ridiculous young man, just an absolute cartoon of himself, just a strange, weird boy. But you know what? I saved the what up?
He was dropping the knowledge, man. If it wasn't for him, you wouldn't know. You wouldn't know that black men can't be held accountable for abusing black women because they learned patriarchy from white people.
What is wrong with this dude? Like, just pure 100% bugged out. Yeah, man. So that's definitely coming up. Most likely tomorrow. Of course, tomorrow, like, folks know that, like, we are doing, like, the broadcast in the midst of everything being wacky. Right, workplace shakeups. Phoenix Kalita's trying to get another gig. We're trying to turn this into a gig. And at the same time, I mean, right now it's Sunday. In 7 days, it's Sunday again. And then that following Friday, I'm on an aeroplane. And then this weekend was spent moving my biological sister into this place and just moving, labor. Everything's happening, and we're still banging out these programs, and I got to do it. I got to do this next misogynist or exposed one. And yet, like, I'm legit, yeah, I'm not at a desk, yo. I am in the dining room at, like, the dining room table with the laptop posted up here. I have no bedroom because I'm in the midst of moving to Illinois, so, like, I bunch up a blanket on the floor and use that as a pillow, and I just fall asleep on the floor. But really, that's just for a few days, and then that's in the can. And, you know, it's zany. It is zany. All right? So this is a clip show. And not like it's going to be a best of show, but just I have clips prepared and news stories, whatnot, what have you, this, that, and the other. Right? So, there's that sit-in that the which was not a sit-in that the Congress Democrat sellouts did. That was merely an election year stunt. All right, and then John Lewis just being like John Lewis is, far as I'm concerned, he has tarnished and he has set his own legacy on fire while he was still alive. Like, you know what? John Lewis doesn't have to wait until he dies for white people to say he transcended race. He sold out so hard, he transcended race and class hardcore while he was still alive, and we got to see it happen. John Lewis, my man, you transcended race because you a straight buster for white supremacy now, ain't you? Straight punk buster all day, straight sellout. And surprise, surprise, who's surprised that that Hillary Clinton had a meeting with that caucus right before they did that sit-in, that 25-hour sit-in? Like, you realize that hipsters are in front of Best Buy in November waiting for Black Friday longer than that, all right? And then, of course, they were taking pictures and putting them up on social media because it was a stunt. All right, bullshit. What else is going on? Grand jury declines to indict Case Bolt. We got a Sanders clip. He talks about why he hasn't endorsed Clinton, which endorse and saying that you'd vote for that person over Trumbull-Stiltskin, those are not the same thing. Endorsed is when you want other people to join you, and he has not done that. Nurses, we have audio clip of a nurse testifying in favor of single-payer health care to John Lewis, and then John Lewis takes the vote on it being rejected. Let's keep it greasy, all right? Like, because the Democratic Party, they have their platform now. Like, that's the thing. They had their what is it, a hearing of the ideas, and they laid out their platform, and they told you what they think about your ass. I know there's a highlights deal here. Skibby flippy jibby do. So $15 an hour minimum wage, not in the platform. Supporting the single payer health care, not in the platform. Supporting a carbon tax, not in the platform. Rejecting the Trans-Pacific Partnership, not in the platform. Rejecting Israeli occupation of the West Bank, not in the platform. Banning hydraulic fracturing or fracking, not in the platform. That's your Democrats. That's your John Lewis. That's your Elizabeth Warren. Those are your Democrats, buddy. Enjoy. All right. So let's go ahead and see if we can't get into a wee bit of wine cellar. All right? That's what Phoenix Kalita's into. She's into wine cellaring.
I mean, I'm into wine, which is, like, basically the same thing.
Nuh-uh.
Kind of.
Nuh-uh.
I mean, kind of.
No. No, it's not.
Yes. Yes.
It's not. Wine cellaring and wine are not the same thing. Wine cellaring. Black.
But we wine in the wine cellar, so...
We are whiny-ass leftists. We are fucking whiny-ass Bernie bros.
Yeah, well, I mean, I always did want to be a white man, so, I mean, mission accomplished.
I don't know. I don't know what your deal is, Miss Ma'am. Nobody gets shot. All right. Yeah, you are in the place, but you know it's not official until it's official. Miss Phoenix Kalita, how do we make it official?
All right.
Mm-hmm. I believe that is how we make it official.
But so, you gotta say all right.
I have to make sure that it's all right, Father Teresa's Wine Cellar, Father Teresa, the greatest black atheist podcast, Phoenix Kalita, Reading in the Shade with Phoenix Kalita, the uppity negress with two T's on the Twitters, Lisa Loco, the white splainer in chief, and Fallon Matthew, FallonKitty.com, it's a Dutch name, FallonKitty.com, all right, she is an independent black woman writing books. All right, support this little nigga. God damn it. All right, that's the little homie right there. All right, Jesus Christ over here. Why? I did not know that those folks down at BET were going to have their little romper room tonight.
Romper, wow.
Or whatever it was where they had their little, program.
Yeah.
Which I don't care.
Like anything.
Is SWV there? Is In Vogue there, right? Like Bone Thugs and Harmony? Dog Pound?
No.
Somebody Dope? Nas? No?
No.
Queen Latifah?
Beyonce was there.
Lady of Rage?
No.
No, no Lady of Rage, no.
Nah.
I'm not interested. It was corny. It was corny. I didn't dig it. I'm not living for this. It is not helping me get my life, okay? It's not happening. It's just smelly and it smells. It smells weird. All right. What do you want to do?
Smells like Haterade.
Okay, whoa, listen here, Yellow Avenger. Well, do you want to jump into a clip first or into a story first?
Let's do a clip first.
Agent Freckles chooses a clip first. All right, that's how she wine cellars. So that's how I'll wine cellar with her. Let's go.
Father Teresa's wine cellar is rated R for keeping it real.
When we're not on the show, Father Teresa yells at me.
Hey, which way should I steer at? The beat keeps knocking down my strip, you hear it. Curving like a motherfucker swerving. Hope I don't
scream. The Collin County Grand Jury declined to indict Eric Casebold, who was seen on cell phone video pinning down a bikini-clad girl and drawing his weapon on a young man.
A grand jury declined Thursday to indict a former McKinney, Texas police officer who last year pinned a girl to the ground, then brandished his gun while breaking up a pool party.
Several juveniles who did not have permission to be at the pool refused to leave and had begun fighting. One officer is seen wrestling a female to the ground.
Eric Casebolt's attorney confirmed for us this afternoon that grand jury decision, it came more than a year after that Craig Ranch pool party. Now, this is that cell phone video that went viral. Casebolt somersaulting into view, pulling his gun on a couple of people in the crowd, then getting into a confrontation with 15-year-old Dejeria Becton.
The grand jury determined that there wasn't enough evidence to charge him. It's a relief, Mill said. Police were called to the pool party after reports of a disturbance involving multiple juveniles at the location who don't live in the area or have permission to be there, refusing to leave.
Yanking her by her hair and pinning her face down with both knees on her back. Casebolt resigned the week following the incident after the video surfaced. His attorney delivered the news of today's grand jury decision.
General, sense of relief. He mentioned that he had not been actively seeking employment for a while to kind of get this cloud, this issue resolved in his life. But he was very happy. He was very relieved.
On the other side, the Next Generation Action Network, it says it's outraged by the grand jury decision and does plan to protest sometime next week, although a time and a day not yet determined.
Brown, I told you to stay. Get on the ground.
As a youth, I used to hold the weed up. Old head said I thought more like a soldier than a leader. In order to succeed, I had to slow my speed up. Didn't listen to stuff. Took another puff and achieve it. He said, believe us or not, trust the stuff and you earn. With every mistake you make, back to us you return. Probably would go Hollywood. I thought he was joking. My first taste of fame, I hit the first thing smoking. All engulfed in the honey.
All right. So, so that's fucking Casebolt, right? Rapist, violent cop, complete and utter fucking maniac, which kind of just makes him normal, right?
Exactly. I was about to be like, so just like all the other ones that he worked with.
Yeah.
Just one of the guys. Yeah.
Yeah,
we should make that into a meme, actually.
What up?
Just like, like a bunch of cops doing, things cops do and just, meme it. Like, can't wait. Just want to hang out and be one of the guys. Like, some young rookie or some shit.
Yeah, anybody who's not a cop and wants to be one. Years ago, that was already a highly suspicious thing, right? Like the homie Rudolph. Well, not the homie anymore. When we were all turning 18 and, wrapping up our senior year, and he was like, I want to be a cop. Like, that nigga was by himself. It was like, oh, you ain't at the lunch table no more. You gone. Like, you're out. Fuck you. But, that was fucking 2002, right? Now it's 2016, and all these videos are out. And not only that, but it's stories like Casebolt and, It's stories like Casebolt and stories like Holtzclaw, and there's a lot of them. Like, if you go digging back in the wine cellar archives, we got a lot of rapist cop stories. Really, you go to Father Teresa, I think it's Father Teresa WordPress. I've got a bunch of them there too. So if you want to be a cop now, like, first thought is you want to rape and murder with guaranteed impunity, and you just don't have the but you don't have the affluence to get away from it. So you need the so you basically need to catch a little case of COP.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's it. So you can't trust anybody. Like, anybody who wants to be a cop is somebody that just wants to rape. And they're probably already raping people and probably already harming people and is an abusive person, but they want to be able to kill, right? Like, they actually want to be able to get up close and, like, feel like someone dying, right? Whether they're choking them out, stomping them out, putting a bullet through that flesh and actually smelling the blood. Like, they want that.
Yeah, I think it's that, and then the fact that they get to smirk about it because they're getting paid for it and they get a pension. Like, you're literally getting paid in blood money, and then you get to retire in blood money with your pension and sit and reminisce, you know, on your front porch when you're, like, 70. Like, I remember that time that, you know, that one 19-year-old just caught me on a bad day, and he was a little bit too mouthy, so, you know, that.
Yeah, or not, and you're not just getting any kind of paid. You're getting paid by the people you're raping and murdering.
And quite a bit of money, too, or at least here. Like, starting salary for Chicago cops, I think, is like $6,000 a year. Like, that's not exactly chump change.
Yeah. Whew, yeah, it's good. It's good to be a fucking land pirate. You know, how hard is it to not click back at that thread that we're supposed to be done with for now?
Oh, why? the one that you said we weren't going to talk about?
Right.
Oh, okay.
And Fallon Loco in the chat space said are playing some in real life video game. Yeah. Yeah, they really are. They really are Grand Theft Auto. Like, you know, in Grand Theft Auto, one of the first things you know is that you could just push the button all the way down on the accelerator on your controller in your hand and just speed the motherfucker. And they do that. Like, you ever see them where they just want to get through the red light? They'll just fucking maybe flicker the light and speed through it.
They do. Yeah, did I tell you I almost hit a cop car? Like, towards the end of the school year with Michael, with my youngest.
I think I was... Yeah, you already, ma'am, you already did it.
I did it.
You need
I just
chill.
Did that. Man.
I think I was on the telephone with you when you did that.
Oh, were you? Yeah, it's because they keep a car outside the school to, I guess, prevent crime or something. But a cop gets in it and just, he doesn't look. He just pulled out and damn near hit me. And I was like... Really? You just start your car and you just pull out into a lane of traffic? You don't use the mirror? No? No mirrors? Okay. Directional, maybe? No? Oh, okay.
Yeah, because whatever happens is the regular person's fault.
Well, yeah, everybody knows that.
Okay, what is this? Reading in the Shade received a new message.
Oh, dear. Is it good or bad?
Oh,
it just is.
It's that weird troll. They just put B-H-I-T again.
Does that mean something?
I don't know. Big hitters, internet technology, fucking I don't know, man. I have no idea what that person is talking about. And I go to his profile and, oh, yeah, that's all he has. Oh, yeah, this is someone who's hacked. Yeah, that's all it is. Well, that's outstanding. All right. Well, more stuff, more things, more whatnot, more what have you. I mean, unless you, oh, something else. I need to make a post about this, yo. Because, learning how to use the social networks, like I came out of just interacting with atheists at first, and then, of course, black atheists after that, and then, like, feminist homies and like, Marxists and socialists and shit like that following that. And now it's mostly just black. Like, that's most of what I'm doing in the social networks now is just the blackness, a lot of blacktivity, veritable blackinalia. And
did you really just say blacktivity?
Yeah.
I ain't, man.
Why? So, yeah, so I fucking, so that's most of what I do. But from the beginning, some of those white atheists are still around. And I'm noticing that they don't understand that just like the Christians and Muslims and whatnot that they mock, they're running on faith thinking as well when it comes to the cops. Like, they're running on the faith that the cops are good, including your family members. Like, you realize, like, your dad, uncle, brother, cousin that's a cop is Daniel Holtzclaw. Like, that's who they are. And you just really want to be a good, faithful little copstian. If you're not a Christian, you're a little copstian that your Lord and Savior behind the badge is all-knowing and all-good.
And here to save you and protect you.
Yeah, actually. And that's why you trust them to be all-powerful. So stop with the faith thinking, white atheists. Stop it. All right. Well, Dancer Ford, do you like nurses talking about nurse things?
Sometimes.
I bet you do, woman.
I don't know, like, maybe.
Maybe, maybe not sure, maybe no, no, huh?
Maybe.
The news is a shit show these days, and we're here to give you a break from the white supremacist media bullshit by bringing you the shitty news so that you can feel less like shit because you know the people discussing all the fucked up shit give a shit about you and the shitty situations you deal with every day. So shit. Pour yourself a glass and settle in for Father Teresa's Wine Cellar.
I want it to be over, turn the boat around.
Chairman Cummings, you spoke of crying when the ACA was passed, and we're moved that you feel so strongly about healthcare as a human right. Unfortunately for nurses, the tears continue to flow daily. Nurses cry daily because they go home after seeing patients who cannot afford their care. They can't afford their medication. They can't afford the high copays. They can't afford treatment for their children to keep them alive. That means that they're not going to the doctor when they need to. They're delaying care so they come in sicker. Nurses are seeing people who have insurance and preventable issues, but they come in sicker and harder to heal because they're afraid to go to the doctor because they can't afford it. It's no wonder that the majority of U.S. bankruptcies are from medical expenses. The majority of those were actually people who have insurance. People are going bankrupt who have insurance. Such a cruel system. It's a cruel system. Luckily, nurses have the cure, improved Medicare for All. It provides a single standard of care, freedom to choose a doctor, while saving over $1 trillion over the next 10 years. Plus, it isn't based on the size of your wallet. You wouldn't go bankrupt because of a diagnosis like cancer. Nothing can refute that Medicare for All would save lives, save money, and cover everyone with a single standard of care. Every study shows that. Every study shows that. Nurses are not alone. 56% of all Americans support Medicare for All, as you've heard today. 81% of Democrats support a Medicare for All system. How can this not be in the Democratic platform? How can it not? Your base is with you. As your mother said, Chairman Cummings, and you have all the good quotes, sorry, sometimes you have to wait for people to catch up when you do the right thing. This is certainly the right thing. The party needs to seize this as an opportunity to make bold change. Otherwise, people are dying and going bankrupt while they wait for the Democratic Party leadership to catch up.
It feels like there's a lot of young people like myself who are very passionate supporters of Bernie Sanders, and I just don't see the same enthusiasm from younger people for you. In fact, I've heard from quite a few people my age that they think you're dishonest.
Father Teresa claims to be a champion for women, but ask him how much he pays for that.
Now, colored woman,
would
universal health care be useful for you?
Yes.
Why?
Well, considering that our life plan is literally moving to a state solely so I can be close to that medical facility, because that's the only place I can receive treatment, and I have now altered out the entire course of my life around an illness that I can't get treated for in metropolitan area Chicago, which is a pretty big place in the country, yes. Yes, access to good, solid, affordable medical care would be pretty fucking awesome.
Sounds selfish.
It might be.
It sounds like that Bernie bro shit, and it's just your privilege talking.
It is.
Are you sure you're not privileged?
Oh, I'm like the most privileged person ever. And I know because I took a BuzzFeed quiz that told me I rank like 8 privileged points out of 100.
Okay, did you factor in light skin?
Yeah. I did.
I bet you. Oh, so BuzzFeed asked if you're a dark skinned colored or a light skinned colored.
Well, I just actually pretended. You know what? Let me not say that. Let me not say that on the air. Let me stop myself, because I know you know what I was about to say too.
I don't.
Anyways, BuzzFeed told me I have 8 out of 100 points. So, you know, I'm like, that's like extra, extra privilege. So, you know.
Yeah, you're Agent Freckles.
I am Agent Freckles. Well, yeah, I'm actually Agent Freckles because low-key, I'm actually a white man. So I'm also a multimillionaire. So I don't actually give a fuck what happens to anybody because I'm a millionaire. I'm like related to Martin Shkreli.
See?
Yeah.
So you were a Bernie bro the whole time.
I guess I'm floored by the whole thing because all these reports and studies have shown we lose trillions of dollars every year in the workplace because people have to call in sick for things they can't afford. People end up dying early and prematurely or getting chronic illnesses because they can't, go in and get treatment. And it's just like, this is one of those things that I don't get because it's not a hypothetical. It's not like a what if or what if we come back in 10 years. Like, no, like literally people are dying right now in this very minute. Like today, somebody did, you know?
Well, now, I think it would also be useful for me and for a lot of people. Like, well, other things also need to be in there, right? Because, like dental care is like not a part of healthcare for some fuck off reason. And then I don't know how they do with eyes, because I've never used health insurance before. I've always just gone in and paid the price for the medical exam and paid the price for my glasses. You're gonna make me get health insurance anyway, so
I am.
Fucking, let's do that shit. And then you're going to make some poor doctor fucking dig in my asshole. Which, that's going to be a problem for them. Because I like chili.
prostate exams are not a bad thing, you know.
Not for
people's
me, for them.
Should have them. They get paid enough, they're going to be all right.
Oh, sure. Well, I might as well ask for something. Like, hey, man, I just give me $15, you know, just, you know. That's not even that much. Like, it's $15. You were gonna spend fucking more than that on lunch today, fucko. So just give me $15.
Maybe.
Yeah.
No, I don't think that's how that works.
Nah, fuck that.
They
want this ass.
You are a damn fool. Yeah, I think too that a lot of people I think are relatively healthy, so it doesn't occur to them until something happens. So it's not until like an unexpected car accident, or you find out you have cancer, or, you know, for some freak reason you get pneumonia this year. Like, they don't understand, but, and I, you know, my insurance covered it, like, thankfully, but there was one year that I actually racked up $386,000 in medical bills. Hey.
Shit, man. And that
because
sounds weird.
Sounds weird?
Yeah, but because... Hey, you were about to say the reason why you racked up that much?
Oh, yeah, because that was when I started getting sick with the pericarditis and the pleuritis, and they couldn't figure out what was going wrong, so I spent like 16 days in the ICU and then a week in a cardiac care step-down unit. So I was in the hospital for like almost an entire month. And then they were doing all these tests in the meantime, and they were, you know, like sticking needles and taking fluid samples and blood samples and, you know, running all these tests and doing like the CT scan and the MRI and like the VQ scan and, you know, doing all these like dye injections to watch it on monitors. And then I ended up having surgery and having a hole cut in my pericardium. And this is all like within the course of the same month. So yeah, by the time I was done, it was like $386,000. And then of course I had to go back like four or five other times that year because the inflammation kept coming back. So yeah, by the time it was all said and done, it was hundreds of thousands of dollars. And I had health insurance. But like if I didn't, holy shit. And this is before the state of Illinois went completely broke and stopped making payments. So that was also good. But like, shit, like I didn't fucking expect to get sick. I didn't know that was going to happen. So, you know, that's a house. That's a really nice house. It's like a really nice 5-bedroom house, you know?
Yeah. Which, I mean, we're not those kind of people, but you know, yeah. You are, aren't you? You like 5 bedrooms.
I don't need 5 bedrooms. Well, I mean,
2 bedrooms
no.
are fine.
I would like 3, but, you know.
Oh, 3, like a workroom?
Yeah.
I mean, that would be good to have a workroom where it's like you could actually sit there and, like, close the door and knit.
Exactly.
And I could, you know, and I could sit there and do show prep. Yeah, a workroom, yeah.
Yeah, I'm like, 3 is good. But... yeah, so, you know, that kind of thing, people don't think about it until, you know, they need it or they start getting sick and they don't go to the doctor. There was some doctors that went down after Hurricane Katrina, and they actually were, you know, like, it was just, they were running, like, just a huge-ass free clinic, right? Like, oh, if you have anything, you know, just come in. And this lady was like, came in and, you know, got a checkup and she was okay, but she was like, yeah, I need to come here because I don't qualify for health insurance because I make too much money to get Medicaid, but I had cancer before, so it's a pre-existing condition, so I can't get coverage, right? This was shortly after Katrina, so I was like, oh, that's fantastic. And then there's this guy who, he's like, yeah, so I've had blood in my stool for a couple months, but I couldn't afford to take a day off work because I didn't have any sick days. And of course, you know, he had cancer because blood in your stool is not normal. So it's like, oh, you finally get to go to the doctor, and then that's the day you find out you have cancer. Great. Great. But, I mean, really, we should focus on the important things, like making sure Hillary wins the election. That's the important thing that the party should focus on. And diverting away from that and demanding things like basic access to affordable medical care for all people is just fucking selfish. Right?
Yeah, it's your privilege. You just, you know how many privileged things you just said, you fucking Bernie bro? Fuck.
I did.
God damn misogynist.
Pretty much. I mean, yeah.
Yeah, like, if you took everything that you wrote down on paper and did not put a name or gender behind it, and Huxley Morgan read it, Huxley Morgan would say, because Huxley Morgan's not going to listen to the program, and she's a white supremacist anyway, and you're never going to get through to her. Huxley Morgan would just say, that's just misogyny, and you know it's true.
And I have to point out, too, one of the things that I haven't seen a ton of people talking about yet in regards to medical care is, please remember, in all the red states, they keep closing Planned Parenthoods and denying access and funding to reproductive health. So it's like, and, you know, people, you know, women have the right to have an abortion. There is that. But please remember that at places like Planned Parenthood, that's also where people go for pap smears and breast exams and, you know, making treatment for STDs and testing for STDs. So you're not just, this isn't just like, you know, the quote unquote abortion debate. Like, there are literally women who are going to end up getting breast cancer and not know it because they don't have access to mammograms, because they can't afford real health insurance and they're too far away from a county clinic. So they used to go to Planned Parenthood and that shit's just gone now.
Well, and you know how they've been really after that since about 2010 with the Tea Party wave, and how the Democrats have been having sit-ins in Congress protesting for that the whole time. Oh, they haven't. That's right, because they don't actually care. All right? See, folks, I think the Democrats, black capitalists, and white feminists are telling on themselves this year. This is the year that they say no. The white feminists are basically just saying, no, we really just want egalitarian white supremacy. The black capitalists are just saying, we really just want some of that white man money. I mean, even if it's just a fucking 30%. You know how much 30% is of white man money? All right, the Koch brothers are fucking $83 billion combined, I think. Shit, yeah. Like, they are really showing that they don't give a blue fuck about you. What up?
I was going to say, that is something, too, that irritated me, because that was the first thing people said during that little whack-ass sit-in. And they're like, how come they didn't do this for, you know, increasing welfare benefits in Planned Parenthood funding and all these other things? Like, well, now we know why. They just fucking told us why. Did they not? They told us why. They don't give a fuck. So,
yeah.
And that's that very, very, very painful larger conversation that needs to happen, too. There's a lot of, like, you have to vote for the lesser of two evils, and, you know, people like Trump and the Tea Party and those type of conservatives are inherently more evil than, you know, people like Hillary or just, you know, like generic Democrats. But we've been so focused on saying at least they're not as bad as Republicans that we didn't realize how bad they were getting, I think, you know. Because as long as you're, like, half a step less evil than the most conservative Republicans, you're the lesser of the two evils. And that, you know, it's gone so far to that level that they're practically indiscernible now. It's like, well, one is an A+ and one is just an A. Like, it's still a fucking A. What are we doing? You know, and I think that that is a conversation that needs to be had, and I don't think a lot of people are ready for it because they're still too focused on the fear-mongering of, like, but we have to pick the lesser of two evils. And it's like, well, we've reached a point where both evils are so fucking far evil that, you know, we need to talk about that. We need to rein the party in somehow, or make a new party, or burn everything down, start over. I don't fucking know. But I do know that this lesser of the two evils is slowly killing us because, you know, hey, sure, they're shutting down Planned Parenthood and not giving funding to it, but it's not like they support shooting them up because they had a sit-in about guns. The lesser of two evils, right?
Right. And the Democrats have actually been allowed to become more evil. All right? I mean, who pushed, right? Like, who fucked up Libya? Who fucked up Haiti? Who fucked up Jamaica? Let's look at Ferguson. Jay Nixon, that's a Democrat. That prosecutor that threw the case on Darren Wilson, that's a fucking Democrat. right? Who's mm-hmm. pushing fracking? Democrats? Fucking, what? And then who's blocking fracking? Hate to say it, but those areas where fracking got blocked in the Northeast, those were fucking rural libertarians, right-winging people that didn't want their environment fucked up. So the Democrats have been allowed to actually become worse. Like, and again, like when you actually look at the white supremacy scorecard, Hillary trumps Trump hard. Mm-hmm. All right. Let's not forget, how does she get in the game? How does she get in the fucking game? She came in working for a segregationist. That's the beginning of her political career. Let's not forget, like, When Bill Clinton, you know, old Billy Jeff, William Jefferson Clinton, when he was running for president in 1992, did Hillary Clinton step to the side and say, no, I will not do that political stunt with him? No, she went with him on that political stunt to go see
the disabled guy.
Yep. Yeah. That mentally retarded black man who was so, and I mean seriously retarded, that's what he was, that so seriously mentally retarded black man that he thought he could save what he didn't finish from his last meal because he didn't even understand that he was going to die. That's Hillary Clinton.
Didn't he have like ice cream? It was ice cream, right? And he wanted to come back and eat it after he got done in the electric chair.
Yeah, I think it was a dessert. Like, I think he wanted a dessert. Yeah, so that's the Clint dog, big homie. Like, all I'm doing is telling you what's true. Like these, and that's the cold game so you have the primary, and the primary not too different from the general. You have a right and a left, and folks that were with Sanders, that was the left, while folks with Clinton are the right, and you notice that they tend to, they behave like the right wing of that situation, right? They straw man, they rat fuck, they lie, they cheat, they steal. There was so much rat fucking in this primary. This shit's going to go down in history greatly, you know, and then, of course, you know, people who interact with each other in social networks because they like knitting, right? And they meet each other through that. They like quoting Golden Girls episodes. They meet each other through that. Thanks to the primary, they never speak again.
Yep.
Shit's fucking filthy, man. Ah. Oh, yeah, and something else about that political stunt, the sit-in, it lasted 25 hours, right? You know why it ended? Because it was not, again, because it was a stunt and it wasn't a serious activism thing. But now, Phoenix, do you even know this story? Do you know what the Republicans did?
Cut the cameras?
They didn't just cut the cameras. They ended the session until after July 4th. So all these Democrats who are supposedly fighting for the people after this great tragedy, they were like, oh, so if I stay actually and really do fight for the people and stay doing this sit-in, I'm going to miss 4th of July weekend and I'm not going to be able to have fun and eat hot dogs.
You know, Bill is really sorry that people are still locked up for weed possession since he was in office. I don't know if you knew that.
He is, because if you look at the shape he's in, he could definitely use some. And now he doesn't know where the best dealers are. So, yeah, Billy Jeff just wants a doobie, man. He wants to be Billy Doobie, brother.
Wow.
All right.
Well,
so
thing to remember, lesson of two evils, though, even though the Democratic Party is horrible and awful, the right wing is the devil himself. You know, the left is just like demons, not actually the actual. So it's okay. It's totally okay. We're going to be fine. It's going to be all right.
Ugh. All right. And actually, you know what? And the next clip kind of stays on topic. So let's hear from Bruce Dixon of Black Agenda on this particular deal.
It's been through it all, man. Blood, sweat, and tears.
Father Teresa needs to shave.
Niggas is dead and shit.
Father Teresa just yelled at me to make him a sandwich.
The fuck else could happen, yo? I don't think much more, son. I don't know, yo.
Did I tell you that I cut my vagina the other day?
What, Matt? You cut it?
Yeah, seen it all and been through it all, yo. That's how niggas know right now. Yo, the mother for real, for real.
Queen B, baby.
That's the truth.
Lil' Kim. B.I.G.
I'm lying.
Yo. Blowing niggas with rusty ass gem and things. Giving the dough as I motherfucking claim the fame. So when you wet to, when it rains, it falls and all. Hit them with the fall, don't even know them from a home.
The so-called sit-in on the floor of Congress, launched by House and Senate Democrats, is a fraudulent and transparently cynical exercise in partisan branding and election year theater. Brands neither mean what they say nor say what they mean. Brands are marketing devices calculated to evoke a desired set of emotions, to call forth real or imagined memories in an audience, independent and apart from facts or logic. Atlanta Congressman John Lewis and his colleagues are leveraging his rep and the sit-in brand for their resonance with the Southern Freedom Movement of the 1950s and 60s. Keen observers on social media pierced the hypocrisy almost immediately. Color me unimpressed, wrote Kianga Yamada Taylor, author of From Black Power to Black Lives Matter, in a Facebook post that was shared thousands of times almost immediately. Where was the sit-in, she asked, when Congress was cutting $5 billion from food stamps? Where was the sit-in for affordable housing as Congress continues to cut HUD to shreds? Where is the sit-in against police brutality in our cities? Where is the sit-in against the Supreme Court ruling yesterday that guts the Fourth Amendment and revives stop-and-frisk policing? Where is the demand to equitable funding for our nation's public schools? Where is the sit-in to demand an end to racism and the criminal justice system? This smacks of election year tomfoolery. Worse still, the so-called sit-in piggybacks on secret and arbitrary no-fly and terror watch lists, which some of those same Democrats denounced back in the Bush-Cheney era. Back then, they correctly pointed out that the criteria for landing on those lists is secret, and once on the list, there is no appeal and no way off, although the State Department does revoke your passport, also without appeal. Government places people on those lists it cannot charge with any crimes. According to the Center for Constitutional Rights, the government has placed Muslims on the no-fly and terror watch lists when they refused to infiltrate and inform on their neighbors, or when their names were similar to someone else's. Democrats like California Representative Barbara Lee once opposed hysterical and secret government blacklists, noting that any sort of activist out of favor with the government could land on those lists. But now it's election year, and they have very few issues to differentiate themselves from the other capitalist party. So Democrats want to use the secret government blacklist and the civil rights brand to score meaningless points against Republicans. Congressional Democrats are not stupid. They know perfectly well they could be sitting in to end those secret lists. They could be sitting in to explain how the Second Amendment was placed in the Constitution to permit armed slave patrols and land theft and genocide against Native Americans. They could be sitting in for a living wage, for universal single-payer health care, or to cut the Pentagon budget by two-thirds. Instead, Democrats deliberately chose to sit in for this, instead of forgiving student debt, instead of addressing climate change, or black unemployment, or mass incarceration. Since John Lewis and his hypocritical crew are just as much the party of the 1% as Republicans, their disputes with Republicans are confined to carefully staged food fights between meaningless brands. This is the party that wants to control Congress instead of Republicans. This is why it's time to chuck both the 1%er capitalist parties and do something completely new. For Black Agenda Radio, I'm Bruce Dixon. Find us on the web at www.blackagendareport.com.
This show is
so reverse racist.
Bump it, blood to your ears from the war uncut. Have a nigga OD, cause it's never enough. Yo, it's the real shit, shit to make you feel shit.
It's the real
shit. Have you out the top, hip hop, it bumps to your ears from the war uncut. Have a nigga OD, cause it's never enough.
Yo, Lil' Cam.
Hot damn hole, here we go again. Light as a rock, bitch, hard as a cop, bitch. This shit not for blocks, too hard tops in the parking lot where my nigga rock like the spark a lot. My book comes down, speak for itself, like a wrestler, another notch under my belt. The embezzler, chrome treasurer, the you an old competitor. I'm ten steps ahead of ya.
Well, Kim Clown on that shit, that's a classic.
What the fuck
Huh?
The fuck you just tagged me in?
Oh, you... What now, how did they frame that post?
Y'all ain't shit. I see y'all niggas. Y'all ain't shit.
Yeah. So I guess light skin is cool if you're an attractive man.
Who talks about white supremacy, apparently.
Yeah.
All right, then. I see you. I fucking see you. Okay.
There you have it. Oh, yeah.
I'm just going to, like, make a fucking side-by-side of what they said last week, because I remember what y'all said last week.
Nah, he ain't even actually black, really.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Jesse Williams ain't black. He light-skinned. Light-skinned ain't black. And Fallon Loco posted up in the chat space was like, I was in a cop car last month following a car accident, too, and there was a hair caught in the door from whoever rode in it before me. There was no fabric lining the seats or door handles inside. I was like, and then there's a frowning emoticon. Excuse me.
No.
Ma'am.
No. And that's why that clip I tagged you in was funny, where the kids shut the door on the cop, but you were like, oh no. It was funny.
Man. Yeah, now I've been sending you some wild stuff in your inbox. Like, it just kind of tangenting here. I've been seeing weird stuff and sending it to my beloved Blackis here in her inbox in the social networks. And one of them is a woman, like, doing a suggestive dance with fried chicken.
Yeah.
And the song is about pollo, pollo, pollo. A great deal of it. But then she says poya, and Phoenix Kalita, she knows a little bit of Spanish, but even she doesn't understand with her limited knowledge of the language.
Really?
Yeah. Like, I don't get it, man. I'll link the video in the chat space on the Facebook's Wine Cellar Podcast Friends group.
Hey.
It's weird, man.
Also,
pollo, pollo, pollo.
No, she said pollo, pollo, polla.
Yeah, there's something about pollo, man. Like, she's digging it.
Mm-hmm.
Right behind you, Loco, said, what the shit are my ears being assaulted with? I'm dropping the link on you right now so you can actually see the video. Because
that is appropriate. It was, in fact, an assault, so, I mean.
Ma'am, it has 6,261,584 views, so they're doing something we're not doing. So I'm going to need you to...
Making sexual suggestions with fried chicken?
We're going to be some chicken dancing niggas. We about to fucking get this money. So that
Harriet did not die for you to dance with a bucket of fried chicken, black man.
didn't she die for freedom? So I don't have the freedom to do that. That ain't free. If I don't have the freedom to be a chicken dancer, then I ain't free.
The struggle is real.
Why I gotta be a slave to culinary respectability?
Really, in a world of capitalism, is anyone truly free ever?
No, that's why I was born
all right,
on this continent
well, shut
with
up.
This name. Oh, fucking black. And then what we were
this
talking about with the light skin. Yeah, you never know who's tuning in for the first time. So what we were talking about with the light skin is, and it's not like there's a light skin conversation going on now. That's been a conversation going on ever since we've come in, you know, people of African descent, particularly West African descent with a particular trade deal in America, the transatlantic deal. And that light skin conversation discussion, that's been an ongoing thing. And this particular installment with the social justice circles that we interact with, there are a great deal of them that have said folks that are light-skinned colored folk, like Phoenix Kalita here, aren't even black at all. Don't count as black. Don't get to be black. But then, little pretty handsome-ass Jesse Williams, he gets up on the screen. His ass is lighter than Phoenix, and but he gets to be the black ambassador.
Yes.
And that's what I tagged her in because I saw these folks on this page called Kinfolk Collective, where they were just like they were like straight up super praising him on it, and particularly pointing out the fact that he's light skinned, praising him on that. And Breeding Between the Lines, yes, Fallon, we did, yeah, we did a segment on that. That Breeding Between the Lines thing, and that because when we did it was not just based on the writer, but also he was on the David Pakman show, and we played that audio. I don't think I had it in the show notes though, so I won't be able to do a keyword search for it. Oh, excuse me.
Mm-hmm.
Miss Ma'am. All right, so we're coming into the bottom of the first hour. We don't actually have, like, a real break, but, again, this is the Wine Cellar Clip Show. So at the bottom of the first hour, we're going to wrap it up with the clips, and then we'll get into some stories. And this last one is Sanders on CNN and, you know, getting questioned by the corporate shills. All right, and we'll swing it back, bring it back just like this.
This show is brought to you by the fuck that Father Teresa does not give.
With us now in Studio 57 is Democratic presidential candidate Bernie Sanders. Senator, welcome back.
Good to be with you.
Donald Trump thinks this vote in Great Britain was a great decision by the British people. What does Bernie Sanders think?
Well, I think it's a decision for the British people, but I have concerns. You know, when we think back over the last 100 years and the horrible wars, the kind of blood that was shed throughout Europe, the idea of the countries coming closer together is something that we'd want to see. But on the other hand, what I think... And your previous guest made this point, a lot of people are being left behind in this global economy. You know, all over our country, what we have seen is factories being shut down, corporations moving to China and to Mexico, and people scrambling to keep their heads
so
above water.
So you were saying the people who voted to leave are the same ideas and had the same feelings that the people that you're trying to appeal to in the Democratic
what
Party.
What I'm saying is that the establishment sometimes forgets that real live flesh and blood people in this country are hurting, and they're hurting badly. You're the average male worker in this country. You know what? You're earning less in real dollars today than you did 40 years ago, and you're worried to death about the future of your children. And if you walk the streets of San Francisco, you see people sleeping out
on
the streets.
But those are the people that Donald Trump is appealing to.
It's not a question of Donald Trump. It's a question of the reality
of
the world.
We're in a general election here. We're in an election for the future leadership of this country. And the question is, you know, what message, what narrative, what policy proposals are resonating, and why are the voters making the choices they are?
The people are making choices because they are hurting. Because for 30 years, the middle class of this country has been shrinking, and almost all new income and wealth is going to the top 1%. And you know what? The American people are unhappy. Is the response to that Donald Trump's bigotry and attacks on Mexicans and Muslims and women? Of course not. But what has got to happen is we need policies which protect working people. What does that mean? Raise the minimum wage to $15 an hour. What it means is create millions of jobs, rebuilding our infrastructure. Why are we the only major country, Charlie? You tell me, on Earth, major country, not to guarantee health care to all people. Why do kids leave school $50,000, $60,000 in debt for the crime of trying to get a college education? Why do so few have so much and so many have so little? Those are the issues the establishment is going to have to deal with.
All right, let's talk about the campaign here. You have said that you will likely not be the nominee. You've been on record saying that. Yet you are still not ready to endorse Hillary Clinton. What will it take for you to say, you know what, I'm with her?
Well, it's not a question of me. We got 13 million votes. We got in virtually every primary and caucus the vast majority of younger people, people 45 years of age or younger. And what those voters are saying to the establishment, to Secretary Clinton, hey, are you going to stand up for us? Are you going to raise the minimum wage, in fact, to $15 an hour?
But can't you have that conversation and endorse her in the process?
Well, we have had that conversation. We have sat down, and our campaigns are working closely together.
So why have you not endorsed her yet?
Because I haven't heard her say the things that I think need to be said.
Okay, for the record, then repeat three things that she has to say to get your endorsement.
Well, Charlie, don't put me in the position of, you know, telling her what she has to do. She will do what she wants to do. But what I believe is I want her to say that, among other things, we have a crisis in higher education. Public universities and colleges should be tuition free. I think that would be a great thing
to say.
That's
one thing.
Raise the minimum wage to $15 an hour.
Two things.
Greatly, I believe that health care should be a right of all people. I would love her to say that, and I would love her to move forward aggressively to make that happen.
How close to a deal or an agreement do you think you are with the Clinton campaign?
We're talking.
Days, weeks?
I can't give you that answer.
Before the Democrat convention?
I would hope that that would happen, or it may not happen. Look, it's not just me. Charlie, what this campaign has been about is people wanting to transform America. We are the wealthiest country in the history of the world, but the vast majority of people are not seeing that wealth. It's going to the people on top. Secretary Clinton is going to reach out to those people and say, you know what? I understand what you're saying. I'm going to move forward.
And she's failed to do that so far.
Well, at this point, to my mind, she has not brought forth the proposals that I think the American people need to hear.
I'm the real life. Keep hating on my team. We get money so fresh, so clean. I'm the willing. I'm the willing. I'm the willing. I'm the willing.
One of the realest alive. I kill to survive. I keep an ice grill when I drive. You feeling the vibe. 4-5 slug in the air. 10 toes to the flow. Thugs that don't care. The hoes want to go. I know you recognize real shit. Big face, Bill shit. Anti-Mickey Mouse. House on the hill shit. I chill with a real clip. That roll real thick. And ain't nothing to me fucking off a music. I'm ill sick with the flow. My niggas tippy toe. Niggas is tricky. But they can't get with me. Those 54 Compton. FOI rider. I'm a OG Turk. West Coast East rider. Like bang. Boom. Cradle to the tomb. My niggas getting plenty of cake. So make room for this risky bear trap. Cam Joey Crack and a James Bond
rap. Yo, don't sleep on Cam. That's K-A-M, West Coast Cam. All right, Cam from Watts, California. He is one of the dopest rappers to come in contact with a microphone. Dude is nice. Nice, and you know what? If you like content, right, like what he rhymes about is on point as well. Like, it's not just that the skill is there, but the, like, there's ideology. There's ideas behind his rhymes. Duke is fresh. All right. Miss Phoenix Colored, are you doing black stuff?
I mean, I might be. Like, it's definitely a possibility, maybe. I'm actually just making an angry post in the thread right now because I'm annoyed.
Oh, what? What are you saying?
Hold on. Let me check this damn... Why do Apple products have the worst autocorrect ever in the history of the world? What is this? This is horrible.
I think it really is because I think it might be deliberate, right? Because they have the funding to where they can pay someone to just do a good job on it. But I think they're like, look at all the other magical things we've done. We're going to deliberately make this part garbage.
Arguably one of the most important parts. But, you know, whatever. It's cool.
Oh, this is interesting. I want to follow this thread in the Kinfolk Collective page. I typically don't interact with the post. I don't even know if I like the page. No, I don't even have the page liked, but I'm following this thread, definitely. Make sure I have notifications on. Because this particular piece of the light skin conversation here is a good one. Because I think it really is just because, you know, he's handsome and good looking that that he gets to be black right now. And it's because it's a pop show that people want to watch. Like, it's celebrity worship, yo.
I'm just going to point out when Ives, was that the name, was on our show?
Yeah.
One of the comments that was, or observations that was made then is that a lot of the light-skinned, dark-skinned debate is people on both sides of it hurting each other, but particularly women hurting each other because nobody ever comes for light-skinned men and questions them the way they question light-skinned women. Nobody comes for dark-skinned men and talks about dark-skinned men the way, for the most part, that they will talk about dark-skinned women. And so it was a lot of women going back and forth being hurt because the only people we can talk shit to and be mean to is each other because of the way the social hierarchy is set up. So even if there's, like, privileges to being light-skinned, but, like, dark-skinned women can still say things to light-skinned women because it's not that much higher up in the caste system. So you can still say, like, a dark-skinned woman can still say things to light-skinned women that they cannot say to even dark-skinned black men just because patriarchy. So I think that was pointed out, was that there was a lot of hurt feelings and anger and frustration from women to women and femmes to femmes because those are the only two people who are allowed to talk shit to each other, basically.
Yeah. And Fallon Loco in the chat space said she unfollowed Kinfolk Collective a while ago following some other controversial posts. I know they had some transphobia going on, and then this wasn't even on their page, but the people that run the page, like one of them was on like their regular social networking account, and they were just hurling some good old-fashioned ableism at a black woman, and I was like, well, that's precious. So you're just going to do that. And then Fallon linked me to Van Jones has a video making the rounds in regards to Brexit being a preview as to what would happen if Trump was president. See that right there, right? That's Nah, Van Jones is wrong there. But as a sellout fucking MSNBC Democrat, like, he has to say that. Again, like, you show me just even where the possibility is, let alone probability, that an American president could possibly get away with writing out and signing off on and actually having it put into practice the executive order that that America's gonna cut itself off from other nations it deals with. And then also that again, you know why I had trouble finishing that sentence? Because America is not part of a union. It is the United States. The states are already unionized under the federal state of America. So that's not going to happen. And then all the other dealings with other countries are either business transactions or military occupations. So nah, that can't happen. Like, maybe you could get a governor like if you get a governor and enough city councils and district board members, you know, shit like that, then maybe you could get a state that might secede from the union, and then that would be similar to Britain. But like America doing what Britain does, they did that in the 1700s. They already did that. Texas pushing for Texit. Yeah, just like they did in 2012. And it's like, yeah, go ahead, leave the union and be broke. Like, we don't have to buy shit from you. A whole bunch
of
cash.
I mean, it would be kind of fun. If they did, at least you would have accurate school textbooks, though.
Ooh. Yeah, actually, yeah, Texas, I mean, they'll never do it, and the federal would never let them do it, but damn, that would be fucking great. And it's not like we have to buy shit from them, right? Cattle ranching, a lot of that shit's going on in, like, Nevada and Montana and whatnot, so I'm still going to get my steaks and burgers, right? Corn, green beans and shit, that shit's coming up out of the Northwest and the Midwest. Texas has nothing. They have nothing to sell. Yeah, we don't have to buy shit from them.
I'm okay with letting them leave. I mean, I really am.
Oh, the whole damn South, man. I mean, yeah, we'll let some of the people from... I keep saying, like, let Texas leave, but trade Boston for Austin... Let them take all the residents of Boston, switch them with the residents of Austin, because Austin should be a northern city.
Why?
Oh, Austin is wicked hippie.
Is it?
Yeah. While Boston, it's just racist Irish.
Oh, Jess, I see you. Jess got jokes. Jess said, if they push for Texas and they get it, then we can invade them for oil.
Which, ironically, and then the goddess of irony has more to say about that one. We'd be invading the Bush family.
Oh! Please let them leave. That's so bad can happen. That would be, like, the best thing ever.
And so I guess, like, the Dallas Cowboys would be, like, a foreign football team.
Mm-hmm. See, and that's funny to me, too, though, because these people are constantly like, we want to do this, we want to see. But they don't think it through. Like, so you really want to give up, you know, because these are the same people. We need a strong military, right? So you want to give up all those military protections that you support? Okay. I mean, you're going to be based. Well, almost entirely landlocked between Mexico and the United States, and you don't need a military? All right. That's cool. Cool.
Well, no, I mean, because, again, they think that their AR-15 can take on a tank and a drone. Like, they...
Why are you anti-Second Amendment? Why you hate liberty. That's why they need to leave, to restore liberty.
Yeah, yeah. It's actually an ugly-ass statue.
You are such a jerk face.
Yeah, I like beef jerky in my face.
I make really good beef jerky.
Good. Then we're on to something. Do you just make it any old time, or is there like a particular holiday that you lean toward?
I make it when London Broil goes on sale at the store.
I wonder if we can have, like, a certain time of year that's, like, our time where it's just, like, where we just go gangsta on beef jerky.
It's because you have to keep it in the oven for a bunch of hours, so it's better to make it when the weather's cooler so that house doesn't get too hot. So, like, in the fall or winter.
Okay, so that could be, like, our chief November snack.
Could be. I'm here for that.
Yeah. And Jeff Loco said the Bushes would have to apply for visas to get into the U.S. Now, you know, them niggas are still war criminals. That would be funny if if some leftist politicians in Texas fucking prosecuted him for war crimes after Texas secedes from the Union. Like, because
that would actually be really awesome.
Yeah, they're international war criminals. Like, that's why they don't leave the U.S. They'll get arrested.
Yeah, that would be actually, and then, of course, you know, we could just break it down and rebuild the entire country, as America tends to do when we are engaging in pacification campaigns. And, you know, if the Bushes are in jail for war crimes, then, you know, that just frees up the land for local intervention.
Hmm.
Right?
Local intervention.
Yes. One cannot properly host a pacification campaign without having points of local intervention.
Uh-oh. Whoever's running the Kinfolk Collective page might be going into meltdown mode. As I, just not even tangent, just left turn over there. Right now they're saying, let me ask y'all this. Why doesn't anybody question Kendrick Lamar, who talked about how the hood was already fucked up before the cops started killing us, and how Iggy Azalea should be able to do her thing in hip hop, but Jesse gets questioned when all he ever does is go hard for us. I mean, go hard in what? A speech on BET? A riff on CNN? Let me know when he pulls an Asada.
I mean, he does stuff sometimes. He does talk pretty consistently about white supremacy and racism, so I mean.
Yeah, he does, but it's like, I mean, let niggas have the comment section. Let them talk. You know, and also, I mean, and that thing right there, that question is just silly to me, because if you Google that for a second, you're going to find those blogs, you're going to find those podcasts, you're going to find those YouTube clips where people are critiquing those things by those people. So, like, that's a, what is it called, a moot point, something like that.
Mm, yeah.
Yeah, so, like, don't even embarrass yourself asking that question. That's silly.
I'm still tripping out about literally 2 weeks ago they made a post about, maybe light-skinned women get their blackness questioned, but it's not like they're having their humanity denied. Like, they made a post like that was the post. Like, okay.
Did you screenshot
right.
it? That'd be a fun screenshot to post in that thread. Like, yeah, but this was you when this was the popular thing to say. So now that's not hot.
Mm-mm.
Yeah, they some busters. Ken Folk, them niggas is some busters. They some marks. But I guess who I would recommend is, and I think some folks would call them problematic, though I kind of understand them. Like, they're hardcore East Coast niggas, the folks over at Tea Time with the Girls. Like, if you want to hear trans women of color talk, even one of them that I thought was a white nigga, not a nigga's Puerto Rican, which I guess is arguably white, but
all right.
them niggas be getting they black on. What, you found it?
Yep.
So
from
you
want to
throw it in the thread?
You can throw it in the thread. June 5th. Yeah, light-skinned black girls have their blackness questioned, but dark-skinned black girls have their humanity questioned. Okay. I mean, all right, then. I guess. Cool.
They're clowns. They're clowns. To the core, 150,000%.
Which, right. I mean, is... I get it. I know. But it's just a weird thing to say that light-skinned black people don't have their humanity question, because I'm pretty sure anytime somebody calls you, like, a nigger or a monkey or tells you that, you know, you should be a slave or you should go back to Africa with, you know, the people in huts. I'm pretty sure that's questioning your humanity, but it's cool.
Yeah. Now, kind of let's turn this dat-gum vehicular around again. Becky with the bad vandalism.
Becky with the bad vandalism. All right.
Yeah. You can find this on WineCellarMedia.com, paid for by you, the people, the listeners. also a Becky has been banned from all of the U.S. national parks for defacing protected rocks with graffiti, including her social media handle. Her name is Casey Knockett. Casey Knockett. That's C-A-S-E-Y, Casey, N-O-C-K-E-T, Knockett, also known as Creepy Tings on social media. And she posted the evidence on her Instagram and Tumblr pages. She has been banned from going to those public places during her 2 years of probation. The U.S. Magistrate Judge Sheila K. Oberto also sentenced the 23-year-old to 200 hours of community work. She will be required to pay a fine, which will be decided in a hearing at a later date. Quote, "The defendant's defacement of multiple rock formations showed a lack of respect for the law and our shared national treasures," end quote, from the acting U.S. attorney Philip A. Talbert. Quote, "National Park Service has worked hard to restore the rock formations to their natural state, completing cleanup efforts in 5 of the 7 national parks." She went to 7 national parks scribbling her fucking Instagram name. All right, continuing. Another quote from our dear friend Philip Talbert here. He said, "They expect a complete cleanup efforts at Death Valley and at Crater Lake National Parks as the weather permits." Okay, it must be getting tough out there, end quote. Ms. Knockett painted faces in acrylic paint on rocks with panoramic views in various national parks in a 26-day period in 2014, according to authorities. She signed her graffiti with her social media name, and on these social media accounts were photographs of her completing the acts. Some of the vandalism has been difficult to remove because sandblasting and chemical stripping techniques, which are used to remove paint, can cause irreparable damage to rocks, irreplaceable damage to rocks and other natural features. Her Instagram and Tumblr accounts have since been deleted following public outcry, but not before people and media outlets got hold of the pictures. Screenshots exist, Miss Ma'am. Now,
this is funny to me, though. This is like when like people call the police to be like, "Someone stole my weed," like that.
Now fake accounts purporting to be her have sprung up, posting the pictures of her crimes. In the original post, she wrote, "It's art, not vandalism. I am an artist," end quote. So Ms. Knockett has been charged with 7 counts of injury or depredation against government property in 6 national parks in Oregon, California, Utah, and Colorado. She pleaded guilty to all 7 counts. Becky with the bad vandalism. And that's on WineCellarMedia.com, and it's also on the WineCellarMedia.com Facebook Arena page. All right. Yeah, I think I might post that there as the secular TV page. Like, yo, but this was you folks last week, though, big homie. Like, what's really well? And I lost a story because I don't know if they deleted it or if the link broke, if I didn't do it right.
Ooh.
But there was a story about GMO labeling, and I can't find it. And I know somebody just heard, somebody just rolled their eyes and said, "Oh, you're going to talk about GMOs? And Neil deGrasse Tyson said they're good, and I appeal to authority, so good." No, shut the fuck up. You're right. It was Neil deGrasse Tyson said. Nigga, Neil deGrasse Tyson is an astrophysicist, okay? Not a biologist and not a nutritionist. But okay, follow him. All right. But the thing is, like, the reason why they're modifying these organisms is only so they can handle the fucking pesticides that they're spraying on the shit. The pesticides that the person spraying wears a hazmat suit to spray.
Mm-hmm.
That's a problem. That sounds like some fucked up shit. But then here comes this bullshit argument. GMOs are going to feed everybody. Really? In capitalism? No, it's not. And the GMOs have been around so damn long, why are people still starving if they're going to feed everybody? Fall back. You sound like you're full of shit. All right. That's some teachers in North Carolina. They done got themselves arrested. I don't know if you knew that. After a 20-mile march to the governor's office. Ooh, fucking exhausted over here. So over 100 North Carolina teachers and public school workers and parents, well, they tried to present to Governor Pat McCrory at the end of the 20-mile stretch to his office on June 14th and 15th. After a decade of budget cuts and a general lack of resources, the teachers and parents have had enough. The group formed Organize 2020, a North Carolina public schools grassroots organization, wanted to address a few points with McCrory, namely that he expand Medicaid, spend the budget surplus on students, and repeal HB2, which, and remember, HB2, they make the transphobia the face of it, but the shit fucks over any marginalized people, in particular that it kind of blows up the spot on getting fired for any reason.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so that's that extracurricular bullshit. No, but they were eventually arrested and released, and many of the arrested teachers wrote their own perspectives on why they refused to give up the line. And these stories... You know, okay, they should be linked under the Organize 2020 link. Let me make sure before I link it in the chat space. No, this looks like just more of a donate, a join us resources, contact and stay connected. Well, you know what? Hey, maybe we can contact them and get one of them on the program so Phoenix Kaleeder can talk with them.
Ooh.
Yeah, because Phoenix Kaleeder's out there in Chicago where them their
mm-hmm.
teachers have been having a few problems, one or two at least. Oh, you found Becky with the bad vandalism?
I did.
It's fun. All right.
I'm more amused than I should be.
Some white-on-white crime came my way. After I had already wrapped up show prep. So we're actually just going to go a few extra minutes just to hit this one up because some good old white-on-white crime. So, dadgummit, I don't have it. I don't have the I really need to put those Trace Atkins records back in the soundboard.
Oh, my goodness. Nobody needs Trace Atkins in their life. Stop that. Stop it.
See,
stop it.
Fuck
stop
it. Now I'm doing it. Now you
no.
Want
Did you put Richard Sherman in there yet?
Huh?
Did you put Richard Sherman in there yet?
Richard Sherman? Who is that? Who is that be?
I'm better at life than you.
Oh,
I
have
like
not.
You should know that. Yeah, that was just a good clip.
I haven't, Miss Ma'am. I don't even know why.
You should. Because you're a slacker, that's why.
I just didn't.
That's no bueno.
Yes, it is. It is bueno.
No.
That's
no.
The most bueno of all times. Doesn't
really?
Get more bueno than that. Yes, it,
oh my
yes,
God.
It really is bueno, Miss Man.
What is life?
What? Bueno, that's what.
Really?
Shit, yeah, man. Everything's
I think
bueno.
Not. I think not.
Bueno is all I ever do. I don't do nothing if it ain't bueno. That's when I walk in the room. I'm like, yo, y'all bueno? They be like, nigga, fucking Spinaca, fool. And I be like, I'm with that. Miss Ma'am.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Aw, really?
Yeah.
woo, woo. All right. No, that's fair. Now we got ourselves a this here is a good Texas woman. This here is really a good Texas femurdness woman, which
really?
She's a femurdness woman. All right. Now what? Now she likes guns out there in Texas. Mm. And she's an advocator for guns. And she be advocating for guns, all right? Now she got to arguing with her feller at her home house. All right. Now her name is Christy Sheets. All right. Now Christy Sheets, she got real mad with her husband feller, and she was like, "I'm gonna get you." And he was like, "No, you ain't." All right, they was arguing, and she had a couple of daughter girls. One of them name was Taylor, and one of them name was Madison. Yeah, that's right. She named one of her daughters Taylor, knowing her last name was Sheets, so her last name was Taylor Sheets, and that's weird and funny sounding. And now it was her husband feller's. It was his birthday, and he was just acting just a plumb fool. All right, it wasn't right, and it was And they were out there in Fort Bend County, and the sheriff there, Troy Nails, well, he had to do the interview after the whole thing done gone and happened, because while they was arguing, she was like, "Listen here, Jason, I'm going to get my shooting gun, and I'm going to shoot you." And he was like, "No, you ain't." And then she got to shooting at him. And then she was like, and quite frankly, that was femurdness, because she shot that man on his birthday. So really, she's the real femurdness this foot. Is she not?
No. Maybe. Is that how they do it in Texas? This is another reason that they should maybe just leave the union.
Well, she's also into the McBortion, and very, very late term abortion at that. All right.
Mm.
Yeah. 22 years old and 17 years old. See, so she got a real nice long time to really take a look at what she had, and she was like, this here is the worst baby gram ever. Like, I really get a real good look at. I'm gonna shoot them too. So she shot her husband feller like a good feminist, took that man out on his birthday, and then performed two post birth abortions on the same time. And then when the police showed up, she said, she is so in favor of Black Lives Matter because she is a leftist feminist that she had the police shoot her so she could be like the Negroes.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that's not what she said.
Really? That's what she did?
Yeah.
Words versus that's, actions. Words versus actions.
That's not how it works. That's not how any of this works.
Really? So all of these facts in your face and you going to deny that she is a feminist progressive. She shot the man.
Yeah.
She aborted the kids, and then she joined all the black folks by getting shot by the police cops.
She's not Rachel Dolezal, for God's sake.
No, that's what makes her even better, because Miss Christie, she still identified in her whiteness while standing in solidarity with you coloreds.
I appreciate the fact that as you're trying to mansplain something terribly in a southern accent, that's when the phone line cuts out. That's, like, extra super duper awesome.
What? The line dropped?
Woohoo! And this is one of the risks of doing live shows. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Ma'am, keep talking.
Well, let's see if William said anything in the comment section about where he went and if he's coming back. Uh-oh.
Now, this there was a good feminist woman. You understand? Miss Ma'am. Where you done gone and went? Famous Kalita done left the show a minute early. This here woman ain't right.
All right. Well,
Anus Collider didn't left and gone and left the show early, fied. Oh, Blog Talk Radio ended the show. Well, that there happened. Well, all right, then.